Welcome back, friends. Welcome back to The Corbett Report. I'm your host, James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you are tuned into Solutions Watch, that regular weekly program where we look at ways that you can improve your life and hopefully change the world for the better. And this week, following up from last week's presentation, which I hope you will recall, was how to become a very independent producer, easy for me to say, which was my presentation to the Very Independent Producer VIP Summit of the University of Reason. Again, I hope you saw that, but if not, you can check it out now. But this week, I'm going to be presenting the presentation that I delivered to the Attack on Food and Farmers and How to Fight Back Symposium, which was put on by Door to Freedom and Children's Health Defense this past weekend. I hope you did get a chance to catch that and the many presentations from it. If not, I'll throw in the link so you can watch them. Long story short, this is going to be a presentation of my presentation to that symposium in case you missed it. And even if you did catch it at the time that it was delivered live there on the symposium, well, now it comes with show notes. So I will be back after this presentation to talk more about some more resources and how you can access them that might be useful to you if you're interested in this topic. But right now, let's get into the presentation. As you'll see, I didn't have a lot of time to talk about this incredibly important subject, so I had to breeze through a number of things, but there will be more resources for you if you hang on till the other side, and I'll be back on the other side to talk to you about the presentation. Hello, this is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com here at the Attack on Food and Farmers and How to Fight Back Symposium. Thank you for your time and attention. Thank you for being here to discuss this important topic and listen to these important presentations. And thank you, of course, to Door to Freedom and Children's Health Defense for inviting me to speak about this important subject, and specifically to speak on the subject of how to fight back. Now, my topic here today that I've chosen to present on is The Future of Food is Ours to Decide. And as I hope that that title accurately conveys, I think, although obviously from what you've seen in this symposium already and what you are about to see, there is a concerted attack on food and farmers that's taking place right now. It is important. The future of humanity hangs in the balance, not to put too fine a point on it, but I don't ever want the message to be simply one that, oh, woe is us. We are hapless, helpless victims of this vast machination and there's nothing we can do. That is not correct. There are things that we can do to steer ourselves into that future food dystopia that the planners of this agenda want, or to steer ourselves away from that agenda. And I think we all have a part to play on it. So that's a big topic to cover, and I don't have a lot of time to cover it. So let's get straight into it. And my basis for working today is that if we truly understand the various parts of this agenda and where they are attempting to steer us with it, then in order to counteract that agenda, at least at the first level of analysis, the simplest way that we can move in the opposite direction is to negate those things that they want us to do. So let's try that today. And let's start with number one. If obviously a part of this agenda is eat the bugs, then the answer to that is don't eat the bugs. Now, you probably know about the eat the bugs agenda, but if you don't worry. I have a reference to that in a Propaganda Watch episode that I put out in the not too distant past about eat the bugs or you're racist, a particularly egregious piece of propaganda from National Public Radio. And there's more information on it there, but I'm sure you've seen this incessant push to get humanity to start consuming insects en masse. It's a great source of protein, I tells ya. Well, if you are serious about resisting this agenda, I think, well, I'm not here to tell people what to eat or what not to eat, but if you are not inclined to eat the bugs, don't eat the bugs. Now, okay, so that's an example of how this works. We see where they're trying to push us, we go in the opposite direction. But things get more complicated than that, don't they? Because you know they're not going to they will probably try to roll out some sort of propaganda where, hey, you know, eat the bugs. Look, you can buy this cricket protein and it'll be good for you. But they will try to hide these insect-derived ingredients under barely comprehensible scientific gibberish names and other such things that are the 14th line in a tiny little label that's on the back of the food packaging, if that. So here's another part of this agenda and how we can steer away from it. Number two, we're largely, at least the population at large, is largely relying on highly processed foods with those large lists of ingredients with chemical names that most people don't understand and don't know about. So if they are trying to get us to eat this highly processed garbage, well, perhaps we should move in the other direction and try to fix our diet down to non-processed foods, or at least minimally processed foods. And there's a quick and easy way to do that. Instead of shopping in the middle of the supermarket where all of the highly processed foods with all of these chemical ingredients are, how about sticking to the outsides of the supermarket, the produce aisle, the fresh meats, and other such things? That's one quick and easy way to make a tiny change that will have huge effects on your health and other things going on in down the line. So that's one example of something that you can do that's relatively easy. But here's something that's the next hurdle. Once you've done that and you've started boycotting, as it were, the middle of the supermarket, can you boycott the supermarket altogether? So tip number three, if they want us to rely on supermarkets and to go shop there for all of our food, well, perhaps it's time to start moving in the opposite direction. In this case, that means connecting with local farmers, local ranchers, local growers and producers. And there are many, of course, as many ways to do that as there are localities. And I can't possibly tell you what exists or doesn't exist in your area. But if you don't know, this is a prime opportunity to start finding out. And as with everything else I'm suggesting today, it doesn't have to be an all at once 100% or nothing type of switch. Those types of switch are usually demotivating. No, it can be a gradual process of branching out, discovering something new in your area, swapping out something from the supermarket for something that you can source from some local a farmer's market, or if you can connect directly with growers and ranchers. If you want an idea of what that might look like, if you go back to episode 275 of my podcast on solutions, boycotts and bicots, you'll see that I had a conversation in there with my my friend and co-host of New World Next Week, James Evan Pilato of Media Monarchy, and his wife, Cassie. When they were living in Portland, they were participating in a goat share, which was on an urban farm near Portland. They were able to essentially rent some time each week to go and milk a goat and get almost enough milk for the whole week by that kind of process. And hey, you eliminate something from the supermarket from your diet just by doing something like that. So there are, as I say, there are many, many, many ways to do that. Find out what exists in your area and start using those resources. Okay, the next tip, tariffs and restrictions. Of course, governments and corporations love to get in there and try to regulate, restrict, control what you can and cannot eat or drink. Of course, the obvious example for, say, Americans in the crowd is the restrictions that have been placed on raw milk and other such things in the past, and the ways that people have tried to get around it and even been arrested for it, all of that sort of stuff. But of course, more globally, there's the problem of the patenting of life itself, the patented Terminator seeds and other such crazy ideas that have been brought in, not only by the giant corporations, but also by big government trying to essentially legislate, and or judges gaveling down, trying to create a body of law that creates this pattern whereby corporations can control what growers can and cannot grow. And people that may have heard of Percy Schmeiser and his Monsanto battles back a couple of decades ago, etc. It's a big topic, but I've talked about it, for example, in my podcast on open seeds, biopiracy, and the patenting of life. Another example of this is hitting very close to home right now here in Japan, concerns over rice shortage growing in Japan. And essentially, yeah, it's getting harder and harder. The rice seems to be disappearing from the shelves. What is happening? Why is there these rice shortages? So there's a recent article that came out. Why has Japan been hit with rice shortages and soaring prices despite normal crops? There is no, it's not that there's some big crop failure or some kind of weather problem. No, the crop's fine. It's harvest as usual. So what's happening? Well, skip to the chase. At the very end analysis, it turns out, oh yeah, there's some Japanese restrictions on rice acreage that have been arbitrarily imposed on rice farmers here that has arbitrarily limited the supply. Surprise, surprise. Government meddling, government restriction. In cooperation, of course, as always, with Big Food. They are always working hand in glove because the Big Food lobbyists can afford to control the regulators and control what happens there. So, of course, the answer to that is liberalization. Free trade among free human beings who freely and voluntarily choose to trade with each other in the way that they wish, to grow whatever foods that they wish in the way that they want, and transacting for those freely. Oh, terrible, terrible choice. Right? No, what we need is more free trade in the most fundamental sense of that word, not government-restricted trade, free trade among free human beings. Let's move on to another idea. They want us to eat GMO Frankenfood garbage, so we should be sourcing GMO-free foods. Now, this, of course, again, is a moving target because there are always ways that these labels are used and abused and misused, and there are different apps and other such things that purport to help you along the way in choosing foods that are not laden with GMO Frankenfood monstrosity nonsense. But it is a moving target. I am here in Japan. I realize most of my listeners are in America or Canada or in Europe or in other Western countries. So I can't really speak to it on a personal experiential level. What good app you should be using or what way you should be keeping track of what products are or are not GMO-free. I will just parenthetically add that if you are extracting yourself from the supermarket and getting more in touch with local growers and producers, you may have a better handle on what is organically grown and what is being GMO-created in a lab, or at least that distinction won't matter as much to you. But I have had things to say about this in the past, for example, in my Solutions Watch on Bicots. You can check that for such examples as the non-GMO shopping app, shopping guide app, which I know exists. Again, I don't use it. I'm here in Japan. It's not relevant to me. But if there are ideas like that out there that work for you, please use them and let other people know about them. Okay, the next idea. We are exhorted constantly to trust the science, rely on experts. Well, how about we, instead of trusting the science and relying on experts, how about we trust science and rely on experts? Now, the distinction here, of course, is the experts, the scientists who will tell you such incredibly important things like the food pyramid. You must eat these foods in these proportions each day, which, of course, turned out to be a completely concocted, totally engineered, totally science-free, baseless lie that was concocted by various industries that benefited from having their products promoted. We know that by now, and if you don't, I will throw in a link to my episode 365 on lies, damned lies, and government nutrition advice, where I talked about that subject extensively. I'll also throw in a link to an article I wrote several years back on the sugar conspiracy, as, again, I think is becoming more widespread knowledge these days. Yes, surprise, surprise, the sugar industry spent, and the related food, big food industries around that, spent lots of money and lots of PR propagandizing the public for year after year after year that fats are the evil and must be cut out of your diet. And let's replace them with this highly sugar, highly processed foods. But don't worry, there's no fat in them, guys. It's fine for you, which of course was a lie, as we now know. But that's a good example of how this conspiracy works. As opposed to trusting those experts with their fake advice for giving you, well, the wrong advice that lead you down the path towards illness, how about trusting people who actually know what they're talking about, who can guide you towards ways that you can participate in regenerative agriculture and other ideas that will transform the world, the food supply, and your health all at once. And of course, I'm not going to tell you what experts you should or should not be listening to. That is for your own discernment as free and capable human beings. I'll give you some examples, though. For example, I recently talked to Gavin Mouncey, who you may or may not be familiar with. He has a Substack. He's also got a book called Recipes for Reciprocity at recipesforreciprocity.com. Which is a handy guide with lots of ideas, lots of tips towards gardening, towards farming, towards recipes that you can actually use with what you grow, what you can grow in your garden, even in an urban environment, etc. Lots of ideas there that I think demonstrably are more helpful than the ideas that are coming from industry, quote unquote, experts. But I'll leave that for you to decide for yourself. The next idea, the next tip that I have in this bag is if they're telling you, don't grow food yourself, just rely on big food. Don't worry. These laboratory-produced non-burgers will be better than anything that you could do by yourself. and it'll be better for the environment too. Well, if they're telling us to go down that road, then obviously we should be at least attempting to grow food ourselves. And that does not mean that you're going to grow everything that you eat yourself. Again, it's not 100% or 0%. There is plenty of room in the middle, and you can move a little bit towards growing some food for yourself, which is not only good, obviously, for supplying yourself with food, but for reminding yourself of the abundance of nature and the connection with the earth, which is what food is about, this connection that we have with nature around us that we are losing gradually as we rely more on supermarkets, etc. So if you are interested in growing food yourself, I've talked about that many times before. For example, episode 299 of my podcast on solutions, guerrilla gardening. I also did a solutions watch on community gardens. And there's plenty of ideas in there and plenty of tips, tricks, advice for starting that down that path of, hey, even just growing some tomatoes or whatever it is in your backyard. It does not have to be all or nothing. It does not have to completely feed your family and everyone around you, but it can contribute towards reconnecting us with the food supply in the most literal and direct way. The next idea, they want us in a hoarding mentality of, oh my God, we're almost out of toilet paper. Oh my God, look at the rice shortages in Japan. Oh my God, we got to hoard. We got to take as much as we can for ourselves and fight and claw and fight against your neighbors for the last scraps from the master's table. Well, I think we need the opposite mentality if we're going to counteract that. We need a sharing abundance mentality of we're in this together. That was the propaganda message we've heard for years now, right? Oh, you're in this together. Well, we are in this together, actually. And your neighbors, whatever side of whatever phony political aisle they're on, probably have much more in common with you than you do with someone like Farmer Bill Gates, right? So let's share. Let's grow together. Let's participate in those community groups, those urban farming goat shares, forming an emergency contact group, at the very least, of people in your area that in the event of, hey, I'm in Japan, what if there's a big earthquake or something along those lines? Do I know people in the area that we'll be able to come together and pool resources and work together? If not, you might want to work on that. And I've talked about various ways to do that over the years. And so I will put some links in this the show notes for this video if you're interested. All right. Ninth, panic. They want you absolutely afraid and, oh my God, it's all going to end tomorrow. They want you in that state of fear because fear is inherently demotivating. It will inherently keep you from reaching your full potential. So the opposite of that is do not panic. Panic is not a good state. Being aware of concerns, being aware and working towards and concerned about things that are happening that are bad, yes, we need to understand them, but we will never get anywhere if we're simply in panic mode. So let's not panic about this. Let us understand that the future of food is ours to decide. Once we internalize that and truly understand what that means, we will be able to take our power back. Finally today, my 10th tip, they want you to stay ignorant, so we better get informed. Because all of what I've talked about so far is based on mostly on ignorance. If you're just going along to get along, you'll eventually end up eating the bugs. You'll eat whatever's in the supermarket because it's in the supermarket. If it's not in the supermarket, you're going to panic because you don't know what to do. All of these things are based on you just staying ignorant in whatever propaganda bubble they want you in so that you never get informed to understand the issues so that you can negate, you can take that power back and negate all of these agenda items. So if you want to get informed, as I'm sorry to have plugged so many of my own productions today, but I don't have a lot of time. So I'm just trying to get this information out in the best way possible. And I've talked about this a lot over the years. So if you want to get informed, here are another couple of resources from my archives. I did an episode 460, The Future of Food, that you might remember as my presentation to this symposium last time. I also did a Solutions Watch on regenerative agriculture recently, talking about how people can reconnect with nature and instead of fighting against the earth, work with the earth and the natural abundance of the earth to supply the food that we need. There's a lot of information there. If you're interested in this information and what you can do with it, I'm going to assemble this. I'm going to put this out as a podcast on my own website in the coming days. So stay tuned for that. And when I do, there will be links to everything that I've talked about here. But I just want to bring it back to that fundamental idea for today. The future of food is not theirs to decide, at least for the time being, until they have a gun to her head forcing you to eat the bugs. The buck stops at our dinner plate, and we get to decide what goes on it and how it is sourced. And that is not always going to be an easy decision. And as I say, it is not 100% you must be eating completely, purely, perfectly in every way tomorrow or else it's not worth it. No. 1% better is still 1% better. And if you keep going 1% better every week, then in 100 weeks, you're 100% better, right? It's a process and it will be work. But if we do not engage in this work, unfortunately, as I know you know from attending this symposium, it is going to get very dark and the future of humanity hangs in the balance. If we are what we eat, then what does that say about the Frankenfood monstrosity they're trying to shove down our throats and what we will become if we swallow it? Don't swallow it. Having said all of that, once again, thank you for your time and attention. Thank you for being here to discuss this important topic. The fact that you are here listening to this means that we are, to some extent, we are winning. There are people who have escaped and evaded the propaganda narrative and are looking for solutions. And I am here to say that they exist and that you are an important part of that, at the very least for you and your family. And you can set the example for a community. And who knows, via the ripple effect, what kind of effect that will have on the wider world. Having said all of that, I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Thank you for your time and attention. That was my presentation to the Attack on Food and Farmers and How to Fight Back Symposium. Once again, I hope you caught the entire symposium, and if not, please follow the link in the show notes to the recording of that webinar symposium so that you can watch all of the presentations, and there's a lot of information to go through. As you can see, there was a lot of information to go through in that short 20-minute presentation, so in order to unpack that, I will humbly suggest that you do check out the show notes, where I will have links to all of those different podcast episodes and various Solutions Watch episodes and other things that I cited there. I have done a lot of work on this issue over the years, and if you are interested in this, there is much, much, much more information that you can garner from those resources. And let me just use this as an opportunity to subtly remind you or exhort you that if you are interested in what I'm talking about, I hope you're not simply imbibing these videos on Substack or Odyssey or BitChute or whatever platform. I hope you are going to CorporateReport.com for the show notes, where I do make a considerable effort to cite my sources and to link you to resources and things that I'm talking about. I think if you are interested in seriously interested in these subjects, it will be a useful resource for you. Having said all of that, that's going to do it for this edition of Solutions Watch. Thank you for your time and attention, and I look forward to talking to you again in the near future.